John 1, 9 to 14, and it says this, the life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the Word, and the Word was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice him. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, and would do what he said, he made to their true selves, made to be their true selves. Their child of God's selves. These are the God begotten, not the blood begotten, not the flesh begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. What I really like about that scripture is that it says that the Word became flesh and blood and he moved into the neighborhood. Have you ever moved into a new neighborhood? Everybody stares at you, wonders, what kind of furniture do they have? How much furniture do they have? What do they look like? They're always wondering. They're always looking. I ask you tonight, have you ever been disappointed with something? Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever experienced something that was not so great? Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus experienced this. There's one thing I want you to leave here tonight. It's a short message, but I want you to leave here tonight knowing that our bad experiences are not beyond Jesus' ability to relate to us. So no matter what you've been through, Jesus has been through it. You see, Jesus was born humbly into the very world he created. He stepped down, took on a low-level member of society form, and he lived among us. He was born into a perfect, imperfect family with imperfect parents. Did you know that Joseph and Mary lost Jesus? Have you ever lost your kid in the store? Or did you just want to leave them there? I'm not quite sure where we're going with this. They lost him. The Joseph and the perfect Mary, because all wives are perfect. Amen. You're welcome. They lost Jesus. And I can prove it to you. I'm going to read you a scripture, Luke 2, 41 to 46. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. So note, every year they did this. This was nothing new to them. When he was 12 years old, they went to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were not aware of it. I don't know if you've read this before. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a whole day. They lost him for a whole day, thinking he was there. First of all, how do you lose a 12-year-old, people? They don't stop talking. And they're in the tweens almost, so they know everything. So how would they not notice that Jesus was gone? So think, they travel for a day. Then after a day, they began to look. looking for him among their relatives and friends. Well, if he's not with us, he's got to be with Uncle, James or the other Mary. He's got to be with somebody. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem. After 3 days of a lost 12-year-old that they lost, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. So guess what? Even the Son of God's parents We're imperfect. Guess what? You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. They lost sweet baby Jesus. They lost him. And the funny thing was, he wasn't lost. Funny thing is, he knew where he was. Later on, he's like, wow, I was just in the temple having a chat with all the other smart people. 12-year-olds. You know, some rejected him and some slandered him as he got into his ministry, while others accepted him. Throughout his life, Jesus experienced everything we've experienced. He was disrespected, he was rejected, he was tempted by Satan himself, and even accused of things that he never did. Yet, in all of that, he never strayed from perfection. So the good news for us is that no matter what we go through, God understands our pain, he understands our temptation, he understands everything. He understands our struggle. Have you ever watched the TV series, the show, Undercover Boss? Have you seen that? Yeah. So what happens is a CEO gets professional makeup done, goes into his company and acts as a new employee. And in that show, he or she finds out who the good apples are and who the bad apples are in the company. They look and find out who's working good for the company, who's got some great new ideas, and he's got other ones who just hate the boss, and then they find out all sorts of stuff. And then they usually, in the end, end up getting their pink slip. But the other ones may even get promoted because the good apples, man, they really love the company and they want to see it thrive. And this undercover boss actually sees who's a benefit to the company. And those hidden gems are often promoted. This is an imperfect picture of what Jesus did, but God, creator and ruler of all, stepped down undercover in the form of a man and fully sympathized with everything we experienced in our position. Some recognized him, some did not. And instead of condemning us immediately for our sins, Jesus offered grace and love. And all we have to do is accept him, and he promotes us to the place of being a family member. We have an inheritance and the title of children of God. Jesus responded to each situation with love and with grace. Not to look down on us, but he responded perfectly to provide us hope. Throughout his life, he shows us that there are hidden opportunities, even when things look hopeless. His example is that there is always a better option than what is the obvious first answer. And all we have to do is just learn from him and lean into him. You see, God loves us, but it doesn't mean he's obligated to ask what we think. I know a lot of times we think God needs our opinions. I know a lot of times we think we need to tell God how it should be or how we should go or our path. But you know what? He's not obligated to ask us anything. It doesn't mean that terrible things don't happen. And it doesn't mean that we won't go through bad experiences as well. But we will always go through those bad experiences, and we always go through those good experiences with God, not without. But it's up to us whether we choose that we're going to be with him or without him. You see, accepting the birth of Jesus. Now, we can look into biblical accounts, and many people say to me, you know what, there's too many biblical accounts of it. It doesn't count because the Bible is, you know, it's swayed one way. But I'm telling you, there are historic writers, Jewish writers, non-Jewish writers, philosophers who have written about this person called Jesus, who created a fuss, and how all his followers said that they seen him after his crucifixion alive, that he was raised from the dead, that there were disciples willing to die for something that they believed in because they saw it. And there are many people that will say, well, there's not that many historic writers that were not Christians. Well, I'm telling you, there were tons. And there are lots of philosophers. There are lots of historic writers that mention Jesus. And so the proof is there. He was here. There was something that happened. How can Magi, now Magi, they were a thing themselves. I don't want to get too into that tonight, but Magi, they had their own thing going on. They had like an army. They had a lot of people. They watched the stars. They knew religion. They had a massive library. And it goes back to Daniel of how they would possibly know about this star. You have to think, if these religious, non-religious, more mystical type people who were stargazers noticed something this massive happening in our time, coming from afar, making the journey, you have to ask yourself, why would someone do that who doesn't even follow the God of Israel? Because something big was going on. Something massive was happening in history. The shepherds came. Everyone came. And they worshiped. And they found this Jesus who was there. So we can stop the arguments of, well, we're not sure if Jesus was really a thing, if he was really there. It's proven he was there and stuff happened. And so you have to ask yourself, what am I going to do with that? Accepting Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection as a mean of salvation doesn't mean we are free from disappointments. So when we accept Christ, it doesn't mean, oh, everything's fine and dandy, we'll move on and it'll be great. It does mean we have an advocate who can sympathize with us. Not only that, but he is also powerful enough to do something about what we're going through, to walk through it with us. And he didn't say he'd take it away. He said he would walk through it with us. When we're disappointed by life, we can rely on God. When we rely on him, we have the opportunity to gain a new understanding of who God is and what he is doing. And we can trust that he is working in the background for a bigger, larger purpose. You know, when you are an employee of a company, you don't always know what the company is really doing beyond what your job is. Sometimes you have an idea of what they do. We sell this or we do that. But you don't always understand the big picture. And you know what? Sometimes with God, it's like that. We don't always know exactly what he's doing, but we can know there's a bigger picture. And we can be part of that. We can trust that he's working, even when it seems it's impossible for his promise to be fulfilled. The Apostle John gets it right, and he gets right to the point of Christmas and summarizes the whole birth story by saying this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. He became one of us. And so I want to encourage you tonight, this Christmas, no matter what you've gone through, God understands your pain, your temptation, and your struggle. You are not on your own. You have a God that cares for you because he came in the form of human flesh to be that example for all of us.